anybody around here think about health care this week? Just kidding. It was hard to miss, wasn't it? What with the Supreme Court sustaining the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act. Ever since Thursday morning, it's been wall-to-wall coverage of the decision and what it means or doesn't mean. You can breathe a sigh of relief, because I am not going to talk about that. But I am going to talk about health care, because that is what Jesus is all about in today's gospel. Healing. Jesus healing folks. That's a safe topic, right? Well, it isn't in these days, and it certainly wasn't in Jesus' day either. On Thursday, I posted on Facebook a picture of Jesus with some passages from Scripture where Jesus says, we're commanded to go out and heal the sick. And I got some comments implying that I was endorsing a particular political view by quoting Jesus' words. How can that be? It was a little disconcerting, but I can't say that I was surprised, because even Jesus got pushback when he healed people, especially from the religious leaders. But he said those words, and he lived out those words in his ministry as we heard them in the gospel today. Let's think about that gospel reading. It's a very busy piece of work, isn't it? Lots of stuff going on. Jesus and the disciples have crossed the sea again. They do an awful lot of crossing back and forth, don't they? And Jesus is teaching people on the shore. And suddenly a man approaches, a man who was highly respected in the community, a wealthy man, a righteous man, a leader in the synagogue, sort of like a senior warden. And he stops right in front of Jesus and kneels before him. Unusual, that. Generally, the folks who are leaders in the religious establishment do not particularly care for Jesus or his teachings. But this man, Jairus, is different, and for a very important reason. He has a sick child. And we all know that when we have a child who is sick, we would do anything. Anything to help them get better. He tells Jesus that his daughter is dying and asks Jesus to come and lay hands upon her to heal her. And Jesus agrees. And they all start walking over to Jairus' home, with the crowd all following, hoping to see a miracle. Sort of like when you go to NASCAR hoping to see a crash, because it's exciting and it's entertaining. And they're all hoping for something exciting and entertaining. The crowd is acting like crowds always do. They're crushing up against him and jostling him. Everybody wants to get close to him, of course. And in the midst of this story of the healing of this dying little girl, suddenly another story intrudes. There's a woman in the crowd. She's been hemorrhaging for many years, and all the money she spent on doctors was for naught. She still suffers from this illness, which is most likely something having to do with a menstrual disorder. And this last fact is important, because such a woman would have been ritually unclean according to Jewish law. No one would touch her for fear of also becoming ritually unclean. And she knows that she should not touch anybody either. But she's so desperate that she claws her way forward through the crowd and reaches out and just touches the hem of his garment. She knows better than to touch his body, but she just thinks, if I touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, Jesus stops. He stands stock still and says, who touched me? And the disciples all think this is the most ridiculous question ever. After all, the whole crowd has been pressing in on him. Hundreds of people must have touched him as he walked along. But he has felt something different from someone. A need drawing on him and on his power to heal. So he looks around. And this poor woman, who up to a moment ago had been bleeding for years, and now suddenly is healed of the disease, owns up. She bows before him and says, "I touched you." When she explains the whole story, he blesses her for her faith. And in front of the whole crowd, he acknowledges that his power has healed her, despite the fact that she was unclean, someone with whom no good religious person should have contact. And then the moment is over. And we're back again to this first healing story, as some people from Jairus' house show up and say, "The little girl is dead. There's no point in Jesus coming." But Jesus says, "Let's go. Don't fear. Only believe." But this time, instead of bringing the whole crowd with him, he just takes Jairus and Peter, James, and John, as if he doesn't want the crowd to see what he is about to do. They get to the house where there are family members and friends who are weeping and wailing over the dead child. Jesus says, "Why are you weeping? She is not dead, just sleeping." And all the mourners think, "This guy is nuts." But they step aside. Jesus enters the house, takes the little girl's hand in his, and says, "Little girl, get up." And the child gets up and is fine. And Jesus tells them not to tell anyone what he did. Rather odd, given that he seemed perfectly comfortable announcing that he had healed the other woman. What's that about? On the face of it, we have two miraculous stories of healing, but there's something else going on as well. Jesus is perfectly comfortable healing the righteous, wealthy, religious leader's daughter, the sort of family we're all comfortable with that we recognize around us every day. No surprise there, he's healing a good person. But then in the midst of the healing of the good person, he heals someone who is an outcast, an untouchable, ritually unclean, someone the rules say he shouldn't even be in contact with. In the context of the time, because some would say that her illness was placed on her because she had sinned or some member of her family had sinned, most definitely not a good person. He doesn't think twice about it, though. He just does it. He heals her. He heals the woman just as he would heal the daughter of the Canaanite woman who approaches him later in his ministry, a member of a people who were the enemies of Israel. He heals this woman just as he would heal a demon-possessed man, a man that was frightening to everyone around him. He heals the woman just as he would heal lepers, the most ritually unclean of all. He heals the woman just as he would heal Simon Peter's mother-in-law, that dear soul who responds to the healing by getting up and cooking everybody dinner. And he heals the woman just as he is about to heal the little girl. He just heals them all. Now, he is clear that there is a cost in this. Remember how he says how he feels that the power is going out from him when the woman touches his garment? But he also makes it clear that whatever the cost, whether it is his power or time or the disbelief of the people in the crowd that he would touch somebody like this, that cost doesn't stop him from doing the healing. And he makes the point in big, bold letters by announcing the healing of the woman that even those whom society despises. He says, even that woman can be healed. And he hides the healing of the little girl of the righteous man, perhaps reminding us that we need to say out loud that all are deserving of healing. He keeps on saying it all through the Gospels, as if he knows that we need reminding. Jesus doesn't care about our political wranglings over laws and rules. Jesus simply cares about the hurting people in the world. Whatever happens in the national debate over reform of health care and health insurance, one thing remains true. Jesus says we have a responsibility to help, to heal, to care for those, even those we find hard to tolerate or whom we judge unworthy, who are in need of healing. So pray today and every day that we do not forget how we are expected to use our power, whatever power we have, to help those who are hurting. The how of it? We can disagree on that. But the why is very clear. Because Jesus did it and told us to do likewise. Amen.